Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to hear and apply his word. I'm about to know better so that I may do better, have better, and be better. I am becoming everything God has destined me to be. I am becoming everything the devil fears I'll be. I am becoming everything the haters say I could never be. So after today, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, slap three people, high five, and say it's time to manifest. It's time to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Time to manifest the power of God in our lives. Amen. It's manifest time. Amen. What? Power up. It's time to power up, people. All right. Well, this is lesson number 5 in this series that we've been in on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how it has power to bring victory to our lives. God didn't ever want us to live without his presence in our lives. That was never his plan from the beginning. His plan was for us to live, you know, there in that garden and fill up this earth and for him to be here with us. But we know that sin entered mankind and that separated us from God. But now he's put us back in right relationship. We're back in right relationship with him, and he has sent the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, the Spirit person of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is one, but yet he is three. And he is the Spirit person of God that he has sent. It is God in the Spirit who's here with us. We are spirits living in a body. Amen. And we have a Spirit God who's with us, who's in us, who's there to guide us and to help us. And so we should be victorious in every area of life. Amen. Remember, we learned a few weeks ago that he'll remind us of everything that we've learned in the Word. He also will let you know about things that are coming up. You'll get a little unction. You'll get a little knowing in your knower about something that's going to come up in your life. He sort of prepares you for what's ahead on the road. Amen. So you don't want to live without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It was so transformative in my life when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I literally became another person. Totally another person. I was so shy I wouldn't tell you my name. I really wouldn't. And now look at me. Can't keep me quiet. I was really excited because we have our meeting with Bishop Hilliard on the phone once a month with all the AIM pastors. And I was so excited because, you know, I hear from God about what we're supposed to be learning and what I'm supposed to be imparting to you for where God has taken us. And Bishop said, there is a spiritual awakening coming. Prophetic word. You ought to write that down. There's a spiritual awakening coming and growth. The harvest is coming in. It's time for the harvest to come in. And he's teaching a series right now in preparation for revival. And I'm really excited to get over there in about a month or so and hear what he's doing with that. But it just makes me so excited to know that I'm right in line with what my bishop is doing. Because, I mean, you know, it's one spirit who talks to all of us. I was excited. You know, the praise team wore teal and, what do you call it, aqua today. So I was excited when I got here and both of my armor bearers had aqua on. I'm like, see, y'all are in the Spirit. We don't even need to put a color down because the Holy Spirit talks to all of us. Amen? It's awesome. Okay, let's get started here. Let's start with number one, making sure that we're in the right flow. And we talked about this, so this is a review. Just elbow your neighbor and say she's reviewing right now to make sure everybody's kind of on the same page. Amen? Because you don't get it just because you heard it the first time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith doesn't come by what you heard, but what you hear on a continual basis. You've got to keep hearing it. Amen? All right. Nothing is more valuable than the presence of God in our lives. Nothing. And my goal in teaching this series is that the presence and the anointing of God would increase on our lives. Amen? And that your desire to promptly obey him in every area would be increased. Increase of passion. Amen? Increase in being focused on your purpose. That's why we're here, is that he's got a purpose for us. So here's your first blanks. It's obeying and serving God leads to a fulfilled life. Obeying and serving God leads to a fulfilled life. Your life is going to be more fulfilled when you're fulfilling purpose. You're obeying God. When you're in disobedience, how many of you know you're not going to enjoy your life? And if you're not serving, you're not living out destiny. So it's important that we obey and serve. Obey and serve. Look here at Job 36:11. It says, if they do what?
Obey
and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Sound like you're going to enjoy your life if you obey and serve. Isn't that what it sounds like? You're going to enjoy, your life is going to be more enjoyable. You'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Now, prosperity is about a whole lot more than just money. Prosperity is about having a whole life prosperity. You got peace. You got joy. You know, you got the power and the presence of God around you. It's about a whole lot more. Of course, money answers everything, the Bible says. So, you know, praise God, prosperity is part of the package. It's part of what he brings to our lives. And this tells me right here that when I obey and serve, I can expect that. Amen? That's part of what he brings to our life when we obey and serve. So, you know, we've been very careful in this series to lay a proper foundation for the power of God, because we're getting to the place now in this series where we're going to talk a little bit more about the power of God and how he manifests that power in our lives. Say, manifest. So it's got to come. The power of God has got to manifest through his nature in us, or a heart, his heart flowing through us. So when we manifest his nature and love and compassion, we're then ready for his power to flow. So we can't get it twisted. We can't get it backwards and just be all excited about God's power flowing through us and not have his nature, because we'll be mean. Come on. God didn't call us to meanness. Amen? So we got to make sure that we have his love flowing, his compassion flowing, that we have his very nature flowing in us. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. It says, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. So we share his nature. You ought to underline that. We share his divine nature. That means that what's in God is in me. That's your next blanks. What is in God is in me. If he's in me, then his stuff is there. Right? But there's a battle with our flesh and with our mind to let God do that and to allow him to flow through us. There's always going to be this battle on the inside of you. Your flesh ain't never going to want to praise God. Your flesh is not going to want to read your Bible. Your flesh is not going to want to be nice. Your flesh wants to cut somebody out. Cut somebody off in traffic. Your flesh is never going to want to please God. But we have to want to please God more than yielding to our flesh. And it becomes a habit. We talked about that last week, about habits. How we have to create that habit of letting the power of God. We have to create the habit of patience. And patience is not fun sometimes. Patience is it can be hard. But once you master it, it's the most wonderful thing to just decide to be patient, just to be cool. It's awesome. It's really very free. Now look here. This is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is the proof that he's in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Come on, there's nothing like peace. And Jesus said it's a different kind of peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives, but I give you my peace. His peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so in order for the power of God to flow correctly out of our lives, it's all got to flow out of that main thing, which is love. Put a circle around love. And if you didn't hear the sermon on that, on love, go back on the app and listen to it, because you really need it. It's awesome. So it's got to flow out of love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:2. I'm still reviewing here. It says, and if I have sufficient faith, in other words, the power of God. I got so much power of God in me that I got so much faith that I can remove a mountain. In other words, tell a mountain, jump in the lake, and the mountain would jump. But have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. So I cannot get the power going without having the love going right along with it. It's got to grow out of love. Amen. Everybody got that? We got that. We can move on from that. We got it, right? Amen. All right, every time Jesus got ready to do something powerful, to do the miraculous for somebody, to let the virtue and the power of God flow out of him, every time he did that, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. His heart was involved. So it being used by God with miracles and manifestations, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or great faith to, you know, God gives you the gift of faith, workings of miracles. Before those kind of things can flow out of you, you've got to get your heart involved. It's got to flow out of a heart that's in love. That's why God said, you know, that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like that, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you got to love God first. You got to love yourself. And then you got to love other people. And that's the compassion factor that causes the power of God for you to be triggered. When compassion is triggered, you know God wants to do something. Amen. Are y'all with me? Here's one example in Scripture we find. There were two blind men that followed Jesus, and they were crying out after him to heal him. And everybody told him to shut up. Everybody told him, just shut up, leave him alone. There were two of them. Jesus stopped and called him over to him, and he asked him, what do you want me to do for him? Now, what do you want me to do for you? Now, why do you think Jesus asked them that? You think Jesus didn't know what was wrong with him?
He did. He wanted to see their faith.
Thank you for preaching, Pastor. I thank you so much. Amen. He asked him what he wanted him to do for him. And he said, well, so they had to have faith, so it had to be spoken. Faith comes by hearing. So they heard Jesus could heal, but faith is released by the words of your mouth. So he had to say, hey, we want you to heal us. They had to ask. So here it is in Matthew 20:33. He says, they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion. Do you see how when they used their faith and said it, how compassion was triggered in Jesus' heart? Said, and touch their eyes. So when you go to God and you ask, even though He already knows what you're going to ask before you ask Him, compassion is triggered in the heart of God.
Yes.
And He sends the answer. Whether you see it or not, the angels are moving. The angels are already released because of the words of your mouth. Praise God. So many times Jesus was moved with compassion and He flowed in the miraculous. Look at this. When we love God with all our hearts, we will love what He loves and care about what He wants from our lives. That's so powerful right there. You really got to love God with all your heart to love what He loves. What does He love most? People. We got to care about this harvest that's coming in. I'm so glad that God is preparing us to care about the harvest through this series of messages. Because this is why we have the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we have the power. That's why we're still here. Is that God wants to manifest Himself through us so that others will come to Him. It's the only reason He hasn't come back yet is because there's some more people He wants saved.
All right.
Amen. And it's up to us to be the ones to speak it, to go after them. He's called us to do it. So we got to care about people. We have to care about the harvest and those that are going to split hell wide open for eternity. If we don't say something, the Bible says their blood will be on our hands. We have to be faithful to pray for them, to care about them, to talk to them, and to keep our lives clean enough so that God can flow through you as a vessel. Amen, somebody. Care about what He wants from our lives. Do you care really what He wants from your life? Do you really care? Are you just on autopilot right now? Are you living by default? Are you living by discipline? Yeah. It's easy to just slip over to default rather than living by discipline. And it's important that we do that. I'm not saying you got to be like walk with your hands folded all the time, your eyes closed. I mean, we just be normal. Be us. Be who we are. Be fully in your personality. And let God use you. He made you just like you are on purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now let's look at this. Number two, I put the hard part in the middle. I've been putting the hard part at the end, but I said, let me just go ahead and put it in the middle so we can end on a happy note. Praise God. So number two is broken for more power. When we're broken, God can really use us. I was 31 years old, 23 years ago, this month, that I knelt down in my closet and raised my hands and surrendered and said, God, I'm through running. I,
I was broken before God and said, no longer my will, but let your will be done in my life. And I'm so glad that I did. So glad that I surrendered, that I allowed him to break me and make me, amen, into somebody that he could use. And who would have ever thought, if he could use me, Lord, he can use anybody. Philippians 2, 5 through 7, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And because he humbled himself so low, not just to die for us, but to die on an executioner's cross, the most shameful way to die, he died and lowered himself so much. A king would come from glory. The King of Kings, Creator of all, would come and die for us, for you and me. He made himself of no reputation because he humbled himself so low. God has given him the name that is above every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus allowed himself to be broken and humbled so that God could raise him up. See, when you're broken, God can use you. When you're all exalted and lifted up in yourself, you're going to get it. You're going to get humbled. You might as well humble yourself because it's going to happen. So even though he was one with God, he stripped himself of all privileges and became a servant. How could we not? How could we not? Power is connected to obedience and brokenness. I got a call from somebody that I had. He found me on Facebook. This man that I've known since, I think, 1992. Used to sing in the clubs where I used to hang out. Thank you, Jesus. And great singer, great keyboard player. He's known all over Houston. He's played with everybody. He's amazing, amazing. And he called and said, you know, Pastor Sally, I know God is dealing with my heart. Now, he knew me before I was saved, and he knows who I am now. I feel like so honored by God that God would pick me to mentor this person. It's kind of like when you're fishing, pulling in a whale. It's like, dear Lord. So he said, I know I'm supposed to sing for God. He said, but I can't do it without crying. He said, and I'm a man, and my dad taught me not to cry. Especially don't cry in front of people. I said, well, Roy, that's stupid. Because if he didn't want you to cry, he wouldn't have given you tear ducts. So I said, he said, well, would you meet me at Starbucks and just let me try to sing it for you? Sing Who Am I is the name of the song. Would you just let me sing Who Am I for you and just see if I can get through it without crying? Because he's supposed to sing on September 11th over in Louisiana. And he wants to know that he can do it. I said, absolutely. So I met him at Starbucks. And it's the most precious thing to see a person broken before God, so tender-hearted before God, that he wants to let God use his life. It was the most precious thing. So he sat there and sang. He got through it without crying. I said, look at you. You did it. You did it without crying. But as he sat there and talked, he would talk about the Lord, and he would talk about how grateful he is that God didn't give up on him, and the tears just flowed while he talked to me, just flowed. I thought, how wonderful is that? He said, I want to get baptized. I said, okay. Who's going to baptize you? He said, I don't know. I said, I'll do it. he's like this big. I'm like, I'll do it. I don't know how we'll do it, but we'll do it. I mean, I'll take the acceleration team and we'll go do it. And so he said, where do you do it? I said, well, we can do it at the swimming pool at my apartment. He said, really? You can do it there? I said, absolutely. We've done it there already. It was freezing cold when we did. I believe it was David that we baptized in the freezing cold swimming pool. I think it was April. April of last year. But he said, no. He said, I want to do it in the lake. I want to go old school. I want to wear a white shirt, and I want to do it in the lake. I said, okay, let's do it. So he's going to call me this week, and we're going to go get him baptized. I just can see him coming up from the water, it being so meaningful. And then he said, then I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I've heard I've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, ooh, I know why God sent you now. I know. And if he's already this passionate, when he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's going to be like throwing gasoline on a fire. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this man. And then he's going to come and sing at our church. Amen. I'm excited about that. His name is Roy Lee. If you think about it, pray for him. Amen. That the devil couldn't pull him back or steal him. And I don't think there's so much momentum moving forward in his heart. I don't think that he would go back. But I'm so excited about it. So let's look at what needs to be broken in us so that we can manifest the power of God in our lives. Number one is rebellion. Rebellion has to be broken if we're going to manifest the power of God. So you say, well, what is rebellion? That's kind of a big old word, but let's look at it. It means violent and open resistance. Resisting authority, control, or discipline means disobedience. Your answer to God is no, I will not serve. No, I will not obey. That's rebellion. When you just say no. 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Oh my gosh. Did you hear that? It's worse than fooling around in the occult. I don't know what that plastic is I'm hearing over there, but if we could just set that down. Okay. Yeah. Did you hear that? That is something else. Not doing what God tells you to do is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Wow. And I thought of an example. Okay, well, who's somebody in the Bible that just got in disobedience? And the first person that came to mind was Jonah. God told Jonah to go preach in Nineveh. Well, Nineveh was Israel's biggest enemy. And Jonah said, it never says that he told God no, but when God says go east and you go west, you're in disobedience. That's pretty much rebellion. God told him to go to Nineveh, which was this way, and he went and got on a boat going that way. So that's really not going the direction that God told you to go. So Jonah is in trouble. And so Jonah's on this boat, and he's in disobedience and in rebellion, and a storm kicks up, and sailors are real superstitious. If a storm kicks up, it's like, hold up, who's got some voodoo or something going on this boat? What's going on? We're about to throw somebody over. And they narrowed it down, and Jonah, they didn't even have to narrow it down. Jonah said, it's me. He was so bold. See, rebellion will make you bold. It's me. I'm the one. I'm in rebellion. And they took him and threw him over. I could just see him going, come on, throw me over. Whoop! Right into the water. The Bible says God prepared a fish for Jonah. And the fish took Jonah and had him for 3 days. I argue with people all the time. There's no way a guy could be in a fish's mouth or stomach for 3 days. I'm like, the Bible says he was in the stomach for 3 days. You can argue all you want to. I believe he was in the stomach of a fish for 3 days because that's what the Bible says. Well, it was a metaphor. No, it wasn't. It doesn't say it's a metaphor. Yeah, I believe that he did. And then when he repented from the belly of the whale. Hey, elbow the person next to you and say, don't make me throw you over this boat. Because everybody was in jeopardy that was around Jonah. So you get into rebellion and you affect others. Hello. You affect others when you're in rebellion. So when you really love God, you can't help but want to serve and obey. And you know what? I'm just too grateful to tell him no. There's some Saturdays I'd rather not go preach at another church. I would rather just stay at home and get prepared for my Sunday sermon like I always do. There's some Saturdays I really don't want to do that, but I would never give God a no. I'm too grateful that he raised me up from a mess. I'm too grateful that he chose to use me. I'm too grateful that he filled me full of his word. I'm just too grateful that he filled me with the Holy Spirit and thought enough of me to fool with me. I'm just too grateful to tell him no. Obeying, serving, and saying yes is what we do. That's what we do. Give the Lord a yes. Give him a yes in the morning, a yes in the afternoon. I have to give him a yes every 5 minutes. Amen. Just keep myself straight. And you know what? The Bible says that Jonah repented from the belly of the whale. If you're in rebellion and you know you're in rebellion, you're giving God a no. Maybe you feel him tapping you on the shoulder. No. No. Jonah Jonah repented from the belly of the whale. From where it was like he said, the gates had closed on me. It was all over. But he said, even from there, I cried out to God, and he heard me, and he lifted me out of a pit. The Bible says that he caused that fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. And Jonah took himself and got himself to Nineveh. And he did preach. And Nineveh did repent. And those people, 120,000 people, got their lives right. And got right before God so that God didn't have to destroy them. And Jonah was the one he picked. It wasn't like God let him off the hook and raised up somebody else. He got Jonah to a place where he would say yes. He'll get you to a place where you will say yes. You'll look around and say, what am I doing here? God, I'm sorry. Let's do this. Amen. It's good news. When we repent of our rebellion, he lifts us back up. And back in line doesn't mean at the back of the line. God restores you. He still sent him to do what he was supposed to do. All right, number two thing we got to be broken from is stubbornness. Because you may not want to obey and serve just because you're stubborn. You may not want to change your schedule. It might be inconvenient for you to change your schedule. To be faithful to God. Or faithful to your calling. Or faithful to what you know he wants you to do. Stubbornness is persistent determination not to change your attitude or position on something. You are determined. Huh? Not even going to listen to you. 1 Samuel 15:23. Stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Oh my gosh. You might as well set a Buddha up and put some fruit out there. Oh my gosh. A person who's stubborn doesn't even listen to the other side of the story. Where's my picture? Did I put my picture? I didn't put my picture. I know now I did not put it. I forgot to put it. I had a picture of a girl going like this. So anyway, I'll just do it. I'm not even going to listen. Talk to the hand. I've already made up my mind. There's no change in my mind. So just, don't you hate that when somebody just won't even listen? Is that the most frustrating thing to ever deal with is somebody who's stubborn? So we have to purge out stubbornness. Somebody who thinks they're always right. They're usually really judgmental as well. No, I won't, and you can't make me. No, I won't, and you cannot make me. Ouchie, if I'm stepping on your toes, just say, oh, me. All right, number three thing that has to be broken is pride. Pride is a killer. Self-importance. Arrogance. Ego, a high opinion of oneself. That's what pride is. When we think of someone who manifested the power of God, that really was a powerful person of God, you got to look at the life of Moses. I mean, he stuttered, but yet God used him. He was a fugitive, a murdering fugitive, but God chose to use him. And it makes you wonder why. You know, why would he use Moses? But look, I mean, he went to all that trouble to get Moses, you know, down the Nile and into Pharaoh's house. I mean, he grew up right under Pharaoh's nose. I mean, he's like the perfect person. But even growing up like that, think about it. The Bible says that he chose to live with his own people instead of enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. So he was a humble person even when he was Pharaoh's son or nephew. He was still a humble person. He's like, yeah, this really doesn't interest me. Being high and mighty really doesn't interest me. I'd rather go live with my people and just be me. Numbers 12:3 says, now Moses was a very what? Humble man. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And the Bible says that God talked to Moses face to face. He told Miriam and Aaron when they spoke against him, he said, y'all get here to the tabernacle door now, all three of you. And God began to speak to Miriam and Moses and Miriam and Aaron and said, you know, when I speak to my prophets, I'll talk to him, you know, and give him a vision. I'll speak to him, but not so with my servant Moses. I talked to him face to face. Because he was a humble man. I mean, think about having the kind of relationship with God where you are just on it because of humility. There's no pride there. And it's so hard not to have pride. It's hard. It is hard. But we have to decide, you know, God, let me humble myself. And just practice. Just take times where you can, you know, decide to humble yourself. Make yourself last in line. You know, make yourself, you know, the first will be last, the last will be first. The greatest among us is a servant. And a servant's got to have a humble heart, humble mindset. Amen. Y'all with me? Y'all bored? Hello, wake up. I didn't stay up studying all night for y'all to go to sleep on me. Stand up and shake if you got to. Stand up and shake. Shake. Do what you got to do. Just wake up. Don't be going just sitting back sleeping on me now. Okay. All right. Number four thing is fear. This is another reason, another thing that will keep you from manifesting the power of God. It's got to be broken. Fear has to be broken. And part of the reason that God sent the Holy Spirit is that we'd have a boldness that comes from Him, His attitude and confidence. See, the reason I'm giving you these things is because stubbornness and rebellion will keep you. You can say no to the Holy Spirit. And you can be stubborn about the way you're living now and say, you know what, I just leave me alone. I just want to come to church, give me a little word, and go home. That's all I want to do. So you can be stubborn. You can be in rebellion and not really realize that you're saying no to God. See, I want you to open yourself up to God being able to use you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? We got to break off pride so that He can use you. Amen? And fear. You can't be afraid and manifest the power of God. So you've got to have boldness. So the Holy Spirit brings that to your life. Acts 4:31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with what? Fearless confidence. So, and also, you know what? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you grew up in a denominational background. I know I did. I grew up as a Catholic. It's not easy to be a Catholic. It was hard. It was hard. You have to memorize your prayers. You can't just go before God and say, Lord, just thank you for the day. I just bless your name. You got to know how to recite them prayers. I mean, it was not easy to be a Catholic. And when I went into a Spirit-filled church, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, get me out of here. When I saw people that were manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit in a church service, there were the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. There was tongues. Someone spoke in tongues and someone gave an interpretation. I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even receive it because in my mind I was afraid. So you can't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. That's not the purpose that God sent Him. The purpose is to dispel fear. Amen? All right. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the purpose in the power. Acts 10:38, the purpose in the power. Why does God want us to have power? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see that Jesus has the Holy Spirit so He could go about doing good and bringing healing to people's lives. He wants us to do the same thing. Look at this amazing pronouncement that Jesus makes about you and me. John 14:12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's what the believers are going to do, the same works that Jesus did. What did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Okay? And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's so powerful. And look in the Message translation. It says, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. So the same work that Jesus did, right now I have started reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to start reading the Gospels. Raise your hand if you'll commit to do that. Just start over in Matthew and just read straight through the Gospels so that your faith can be built for signs and wonders and miracles. If we're supposed to do what Jesus did, let's fill ourselves up with what he did so we'll take on his mindset. Amen? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Message says to find and restore the lost. So it's up to us to be watching to find the lost and to help restore them back to God. All right? Power is connected to finding and helping the lost to believe God. Did y'all get that blank? Is that a blank on your page? Did I miss it? You got it? Okay, your blank is connected. Power is connected. It's connected together with finding and helping the lost to believe God. So we have this assignment from God. This is our assignment. Get filled with power and let him lead you to people who need him.
Come on.
Simple as that right there. Get filled with power. Let him lead you to people who need him. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and tell somebody about the Lord or put pressure on them for the right thing to come to church. Because this is about as low-key as you can get for church. Amen? To come to a movie theater, it don't feel like you're going to church. But like, just like going to the movies, you ought to be able to get anybody who's lost to come with you to church and say, "Hey, go with me to a movie." It's kind of early on Sunday morning. No, don't lie. I'm just playing. All right. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that works in us." So he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even think that he'll do when we're believing God to help heal or do something for somebody else. Amen? So this is about taking our relationship with the Holy Spirit to another level, to the point where it impacts your life and then it overflows into impacting other people's lives. Amen? We're moving towards a renewed passion and a release of power. Would you see what the vision is? Did y'all get those? That's blanks. You should be writing. Hello, you should be writing right now. We are moving towards a renewed passion and a release of power. And we're almost finished. So y'all wake up. All right. Number four. Here we are to receiving the power. We just going to touch it this week. Just touch it. And then next week we're going to go more in depth. I want y'all to be ready. Amen? All right. Okay. Matthew 16:18, the Living Bible. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Underline that. My church. He said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it." So the church belongs to who? Belongs to Jesus. It's his church. He said, "I will build my church." Yes. Jesus decided that his church would be full of power. Yes. He decided that his church would be full of the Holy Spirit. He decided that you and I are the church. We are the building blocks that build the temple of God. It's a living building, not a building out of stone. That's why we can meet anywhere. We can meet in a movie theater, and we're still the church. Amen. So he decided how the church would look, that the church would be a powerful force, that not even the gates of hell could stop it. Amen. So we have to embrace it just as he put it down in his word. See, I was astounded when I got in that spirit-filled church and I decided, you know, after I'd been there a bit, I'm like, hold on, just calm your little self down, girl. And I realized that people in there knew something I didn't know. Could it be that there's something I don't know? Could there be something in the Bible that I've not read or embraced yet, that I skimmed over or never saw about speaking in tongues or about healing the sick or about casting out demons or all those kinds of things that the Bible tells us that we should be doing as believers in the name of Jesus? So as I got in the Word and began to read on, I'm like, oh my God, how did I not know this? I'm a Catholic for God's sake. Why didn't they teach us this? Yeah. So he's decided that the church would be full of power. So we're going to embrace it for what he decided it is. Amen? Look at Matthew 3:11. When I saw this, it just the light bulb came on. This is John the Baptist talking. And he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So Jesus has said that, John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there's two baptisms. There's one in water that is our wedding ring with Christ. It shows Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in us. The old guy dies, the old girl dies, and there's a new life that's raised. Amen. We're raised to a brand new life in Christ. That's how we express that we are in Christ. And it's a total immersion, right? You're immersed in the, we don't sprinkle, we dunk. Amen. Because it's a total, it's a picture of Christ's death and burial under the water, and then coming up is a picture of his resurrection. But then there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, being immersed in God. See, when we come to God and we're saved, we can get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to be filled. That's wonderful, isn't it? To have got a measure of God. But see, God wants to do this. He wants us to be immersed in Him. Fully in Him. And He's fully in us. That's what He wants. And I know that when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I researched it, I found it out once I had enough faith to receive it, I was just buzzing on the inside. I'm like, I can't wait. I can't wait. If this is real, I got to have this. I got to have this. I believe it's real. I believe this is for me. And I was by myself at home. I wasn't even at church service. I was at home by myself, and I said, God, I believe that you want me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to baptize me now. And I'm telling you, there are not English words for me to describe the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like He popped open my head and poured me so full of Him that it overflowed on the outside, just like that cup right there. That to be so filled and covered with God, how do you explain that? I wanted to laugh and cry at the same time. I didn't know whether to fall down or run. I didn't know what to do because it was just the most amazing and just wonderful experience that... It was just amazing. And I always refer back to that and remember how wonderful it was to experience it for the first time. But then you move into a life where that's just your life. He's with you all the time. You see things you didn't see before. You have a wisdom you didn't have before. You have a worship that's more connected. You hear His voice more clearly. It's amazing. Then, of course, you do get the wonderful prayer language where you pray in the Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues to God and sing in tongues to God. And we're going to talk about that more next week. Don't you miss. You got to be here so you can get the rest of this. Look, Acts 1:8. We're looking at receiving power. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Now, we know that the disciples weren't able to go to the end of the earth because they just traveled. They couldn't do it. So we know that pertains to us as well. And also underlined witnesses. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness, to receive power, to be an effective witness, to seek and save the lost, to find and restore people who need God. Luke 24:49, and the Message says, what comes next is very important. I'm sending what my Father promised to you. So stay here in the city until He arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high. So you've got to be equipped. It's not that Jesus decided this is what a believer would look like. You've got to be equipped. Amen? With power, equipped with power from on high, clothed or endued. And that power, that word there is dunamis. And that means miraculous power, ability, abundance, power, strength, mighty, wonderful work. Mighty, wonderful work. That's the kind of power that He puts in you when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. So He backs up the power with all the resources of heaven. Amen? All right, number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is received by faith. You got to receive enough information from the Bible. You got to hear the word enough on the Holy Spirit so that you have faith enough to receive it, because all the promises of God are received by faith. Anything you're going to receive, you got saved because you heard the gospel. Faith was sparked in your heart and you received it. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's going to be by faith. So Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you're going to have to use your faith. And in your senses, it may not make sense. But in your spirit, it will make sense. It will. God will fill you, and you're on the inside, you're going to do cartwheels. Number two, after we receive sufficient faith, we just need to ask God to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. I did it at home by myself. Of course, I studied so much on it that I knew every scripture. I can still tell you all of them now. That's why I know God sent me this Roy Lee, so that I can talk with him about the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's taught me those scriptures. I taught myself those scriptures, and I know how to get somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, and I want you to know how to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want you to know how to get somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be powerful, Acceleration Church. I want you to look just like the church that Jesus said we would be. Amen? So we ask him. So the very first step in receiving anything by faith is to ask. Faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of our mouth. Luke 11:10 through 13 says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Woo! Acts 19:12. Paul asked some disciples this question. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So I'm going to ask you that question today. Have you? God bless you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? So they said to him, "We hadn't even heard so much that there is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Holy Spirit? We don't even know what you're talking about." They were saved. They were disciples. There were about 12 of them. They were disciples. Doing the work of God. But Paul said, "Hey, have y'all received the Holy Spirit? What's talking about Holy Spirit?" So I got to ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We're going to get you where God wants you to be. Acts 19, look what happens. It says, "When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So Paul did his part and laid his hands on them. God did his part and came upon them. And then they did their part by responding to the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues and prophesying. Y'all don't get weirded out about the Holy Spirit and about speaking in tongues. Please don't get weirded out about it, because it's not weird. It's not spooky. It's not strange. It's not any of that. It is very natural. It's not something that's going to make you act wild or go crazy or roll on the floor or holler and scream or you get out of, that's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what he does. Amen. So for anybody who's feeling scared because of that, because that's not what he does, we don't do that around here. Amen. That's flesh. That's not the power of God. So let me just ask, by show of hands, because I know there are a lot of spirit-filled believers in here, because I want you, if you're not a spirit-filled believer, I want you to look around and see as real normal people who speak in tongues. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, raise your hand. These are real normal people. We are normal people. We are not weirdos. We are spirit-filled believers, and you don't have to act a fool to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Amen. So don't be afraid of it. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's all I got for you today. I think that's enough.